Today's portion, we have picked it up from the book of Genesis. It's good to start from the beginning, right? Genesis chapter 13, verses 10 and 11. All together, please, shall we all read this? Genesis chapter 13, verses 10 and 11. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. There is a principle of first mention. I don't know if you have heard about it. It talks about when it was first used in the Bible. When was that particular word used in the Bible? And this is the first mention of the word Jordan in the Bible, which is Genesis chapter 13, both verses 10 and 11. Please, you can fill in the blanks in your sermon notes that are passed on to you, where you can fill in the plain of Jordan. Some of the translations uses the word valley of Jordan, plain of Jordan, because it is quite deep in terms of the river Jordan that was going on. So that area, some places it was plain, some places it was a valley. And that is how, when it was translated, it was either translated as plain of valley, or plain of Jordan, or valley of Jordan. And in verse 11, Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Jordan, the word Jordan. Some people have their first name as Jordan. Jordan Khan. I don't know if you have heard of him. He wrote some good Christian Hindi songs as well. It's a name that is used by both male and female. Some people, ladies also have the name Jordan. First name Jordan. Some people have last name Jordan. Michael Jordan. When you start searching for Jordan, typically his name comes up because that is probably a lot of articles are on his name, Michael Jordan. Lessons from Jordan means or lessons, basketball lessons from Jordan. A lot of people have these names. Interestingly, there is a country by name Jordan as well. Have you heard about it? This is a picture of the current world map. It is very insignificant, very small place right there. If you see, it is pretty much in the middle of the entire map. It's in the middle of the entire map. Though it's a globe, if you flatten it out, it is a center. It's also part of the Middle East. I don't know how many of you have visited Jordan, but I would love to visit too. Having learned all of this, I wish we could visit Jordan as well. Probably, Mom, you visited there? The Jordan, the country of Jordan. So that is the place, okay? That is, if you see here, this is the Mediterranean Sea, Red Sea, and the Persian Gulf. This is the Persian Gulf, and this is Jordan. Let me zoom in to see what this Jordan is, what is the shape of Jordan. This is the current political map, okay? Jordan, this is how the place is, Iraq, and after that comes Iran and Saudi Arabia, Egypt, which is a part of Africa, the Red Sea is here, Lebanon, Syria, Israel, this is the disputed land, the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, and the Mediterranean Sea. Maybe you have heard about these countries. We are talking reality here, we are talking real land that is being talked about. And this particular country of Jordan has come probably because of this particular line that connects from the top to bottom, which is the Jordan River. The east of Jordan River is primarily taken up by the country of Jordan. Okay? And the capital of Jordan is Amman. I'm not teaching geography here. But it always gives a good perspective for us when we start reading God's word that we are really talking about the places that do exist today. When you get a chance, visit that places. But this is what the places are. There is another place here that's not listed here. There's a city called Petra that is also in Jordan. Okay, there are a lot of historical things that have happened across here. So if you see, Israel and Jordan are side by side. It is separated through this Jordan River, primarily this whole of Israel. There's a north of Israel and south of Israel as well. South is also called Negev. The southern part of Israel is called Negev. The word Negev itself, Negeb, itself means south, because the southern part of the promised land. Why are we learning all of this? Because this is the focus of our attention in the scriptures as to what we can learn. So if at all you want to remember, remember this. On the top is Sea of Galilee. On the bottom is the Dead Sea. The one that connects Sea of Galilee to the Dead Sea is Jordan River. The north is on the top. Okay, this is the map. The Jordan means, you can note down in your sermon notes, the word Jordan, or the Hebrew word Jordan, means descender. Descender. Coming down. That is what it means. When it comes to the river, it was coming down from the Sea of Galilee into the Dead Sea. Dead Sea doesn't have any living beings. It's a Dead Sea. Some people try to lie down on it also. They don't sink itself. That's what they say when they go to that area of Dead Sea. It is coming down. It is fully fertile with a lot of force. It comes, and as it comes down into the Dead Sea, it is going down below the sea level as well. So today, we are going to learn certain important elements of this particular aspect about Jordan. Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. While you open it and keep it ready, just want to let you know that as per the National Geographic, the Jordan River flows from the top of Mount Hermon, where the snow melts, and travels down to the lowest point on the earth, which is the Dead Sea. Goes down. No wonder the name is called Jordan, means going down or descending. For the most part, the Jordan River is filled with mud and plunges downhill, falling 9 feet per mile. Falling 9 feet per mile, it keeps going down and down and down and down and down and down into the Dead Sea. That is what the flow of the river is. The first sermon in this particular series is titled Choices. If you have your sermon notes, you see that. Choices. According to the recent internet research that has happened in 2015, an average adult makes around 35,000 remotely conscious decisions every day. 35,000 choices a day. I don't know by this time in the morning how many choices we have made. You have a choice when to get up. You have a choice when to start getting ready to come to church. You have a choice what to wear. You have made many choices. Some people did not make a choice to come at all. Some people made a choice to be here at a certain time. Choices. Every choice has an effect on what your day has taken you to. God has given us that free will in order to be able to make some choices in our life. Though he is influencing us in certain times, but there is an inherent free will that is given to mankind. So, I want to get ready by 9 o'clock. That was your choice that you have made. Though there are certain situations that might not have happened for you, or you might have made a choice to sleep early in the night before, and many kind of choices that you make each day, be it choices related to food, choices related to family, your dress, your job, many, many kind of choices that you make. We are going to learn some important lessons about choices. Genesis chapter 13 talks about certain aspects related to choices. Decisions, in other words. Verse 1. So Abraham, this is the old name for Abraham. Abraham means exalted father, Abraham means father of many. Abraham went up from Egypt to the Negev. Egypt to the Negev. If you really notice, just want to give a quick background of who this Abraham is. If you want to learn about it, there's a small hierarchical picture that I put forth for us to understand what it is. If you turn your Bibles backwards a little, Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11, verse 26. Genesis chapter 11, verse 26. Terah lived 70 years and became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Just take a look at this picture. If you want to keep make a note of it, that is fine. But just give you a picture, Adam and Eve, God created them. And I just put a small double line there to tell that there are multiple generations in between. Some people say there are around 10 generations in between as well. So if I try to draw it, you can't read anything there. So I'm trying to focus on certain aspects here. From Adam to Noah. Noah, where the entire other generations died, and only Noah and his sons and his daughters-in-law and his wife were the one who got into the ark. You know the story. So these are the three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And all the three had children as well. And then Shem had children. Again, you see the double line there. There are multiple generations between Shem and Abraham. And they say it's around 10 generations as well. So I just picked up one of them, which is Terah. Terah had three sons, Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. Abraham's wife is Sarai, and Nahor's wife is Milcah and Haran. If you read from verse 27, Genesis chapter 11 and verse 27, now these are the records of the generations of Terah. Terah became the father of Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. Haran became the father of Lot. You see the Lot? He is the son of Haran. And then we see that verse 28, Haran died in the presence of his father Terah. We don't know how old he was when he died, but in the front of the father, the son died. Haran died. And then the father Terah, verse 29, Abraham and Nahor took wives for themselves. The name of Abraham's wife was Sarai. Name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah. Milcah and Iscah and Lot were the children of Haran. And then verse 30, Sarai was barren. She had no child. Verse 31, Terah took Abraham his son and Lot the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son, Abraham's wife, and they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan, and they went as far as Haran and settled there. So after Haran died, probably that place was named after him as Haran. So that's why you will see a land by name Haran, a person by name Haran, and all that. And now we notice in verse 32, the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Verse chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abraham, I was just looking at a little history about how or to whom God spoke to. After God spoke to Noah in Genesis chapter 9 and other chapters before that, there was no place where it talks about God speaking to a human being. There was a story of Babel where God was talking to themselves, the triune God, that, oh, these people are trying to build something. But there was no communication between God and man as much. After Noah, I have seen in chapter 12, the Lord said to Abraham, counting the number of years, it seems the years that we see between Noah and Abraham are around 400 years. This 400 years is a very significant 400 years. If you see between Joseph and Moses, the silent period was 400 years. Between Old Testament and New Testament, the silent period was 400 years. There were some gaps in between where there was silence, where there was less communication, no communication for that matter, that was recorded in the scriptures. And here we notice in verse chapter 12, verse 1, now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives. God directly speaking to a human being. God revealing or telling what the next steps are in the life of a person, we notice that the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country. Verse 2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, so you shall be a blessing. I will bless you in order to make you a blessing. And then, verse 4, Abraham went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. Notice this verse 4. Abraham went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was talking to God, and God talking to Abraham, and having a conversation as to what the next steps are. What was Lot doing? It says in verse 4, Lot went with him. Lot's focus was, where is Abraham going? I will go. His focus was, okay, you are going because my dad is no more. Haran died. His dad died. And now, we notice that Lot, notice a small phrase, Lot went with him or Abraham. That is how his life was. Lot's life was always trying to go along with Abraham. Wherever Abraham was going, Lot was going. We don't know how much of connection he had vertically, but he had horizontal connection with Abraham. And then we notice in verse 5, Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, and all their possessions which they have accumulated, and the persons which he had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan. They came to the land of Canaan. Abraham passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem to the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanites were then in the land. Canaanites, if you really look at it, if you see there was one of the family members whose name was Canaan. I'll tell you in chapter 10, Genesis chapter 10. Verse 6. Now the sons of Ham were Cush and Mizraim and Put and Canaan. That was one of the names of the sons of Ham who ended up in that area. So they are called Canaanites. Okay. So these people were going after the gods that they had created. And that is how it used to be. And now in verse 7, the Lord appeared to Abraham. Verse 1, chapter 12 and verse 1, Lord said to Abraham, verse 7, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. He built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. So he was having that wonderful communion with the Lord, God appearing to him, he building an altar and standing up for him. And now we notice, verse 8, then he proceeded from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent. I just want to show you this picture again. Notice this, Sea of Galilee, Dead Sea, the one that connects is Jordan River. So here we notice that he came to a place called Bethel. These are the major cities that I just wanted to put forth. Bethel, here we see here in verse 8, he proceeded from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. So somewhere he was here. He pitched his tent there. He built an altar there. The word Bethel means house of God. It was later called Bethel by Jacob. But what we notice is that because it was written later after various generations have happened, they used those words Bethel and Ai. And there he built an altar and called on the name of the Lord. Notice the character of Abraham. The character of Abraham was that he continued to have the vertical relationship with God. He tried to maintain his horizontal relationship, no doubt about it. But we notice that as much as possible, God speaking to him, he communing with God. In verse 8, it says, he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Or in other words, he summoned. Called on means summoned, S-U-M-M-O-N. The word summon means urgently call. That's what it says. It means urgently call. Urgently call means to be able to immediately, Lord, what should I do? What next? As in during worship time also. In the day of trouble, call upon him. Just call him. All your situations. He built an altar to be able to know that he is sacrificing himself unto the Lord. It's a sacrifice. Altar is a significance of sacrifice that existed even in the time before the law of Moses came into picture. So he was trying to have that communion with the Lord. And now we notice in verse 9, Abraham journeyed on, continuing toward the Negev. Verse 9, continued towards the Negev means he went down somewhere here into the southern part of this land. And here he came down there. And then verse 10, there was a famine in the land. Abraham, while he was having this communion with the Lord and all that, there's something that has happened which we notice here, that there was a famine in the land. There was a famine in the land. What did he do? Humanly speaking, he did what he did in terms of going down to the place where there is food. He went, it says, verse 10, Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for a famine was severe in the land. Egypt is down here, where you find the places where later on Joseph was taken there, and the entire family of Jacob also traveled there because of the famine that existed. Egypt was a place that was, from a worldly perspective, well-established area where they were able to have a lot of resources that other places did not have. And then there is a story that talks about how Abraham tried to tell the Pharaoh that Sarai was his sister and all that. And later the Lord tried to make sure that the situation was resolved, and he came out of Egypt. When he came out of, he was actually asked to leave Egypt. Verse 20, Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they escorted him away with his wife and all that belonged to him. So they returned from Egypt back to Canaan. And now that's where we pick up chapter 13, Genesis chapter 13. I just wanted to give you a background history of what has happened in the life of Abraham and Lot. And Lot, he was traveling with Abraham and has been seeing all the situations that were going on in Lot's life. Verse 1, Abraham went up from Egypt to the Negev. So again, he came back here to the Negev, the southern side. This is the north, as I said. Negev is the south side. And Lot, notice verse 13. What does it say? He and his wife and all that belonged to him, and Lot with him. Notice that small phrase, as I told you, remember? Chapter 12, was it chapter 12, verse 4? Lot went with Abraham. Chapter 13, verse 1, Lot with Abraham. The way in which Lot is portrayed is Lot was going with someone. You are going to church, I'll also go to church. You are going there, I'll also go to church. Where is the vertical relationship? Just going along with someone, tagging along. How long? How long will you? You'll be experiencing some blessings, no doubt about it, because you are with a person who's been blessed by the Lord. I'll bless you and you will be a blessing, no doubt about it. And I'm sure Lot might have learned many things, but it is not recorded as much. Only Abraham having the vertical relationship is recorded, and Lot was with Abraham. So when Lot was with Abraham, there were some earthly blessings Lot was able to experience too, because of a person who is being blessed spiritually and earthly as well. And that is what we see here. Verse 2, Abraham was very rich in livestock, or in substance it says, in silver and in gold. There were a lot of earthly blessings or benefits that he was getting. He was a rich man, no doubt about it. Some people say, oh, how can Christians be rich people? No doubt, yes, God can bless people. Abraham was very rich, it says in my translation. Verse 2, Abraham was very rich. Why? Because God blessed him. Chapter 12, it says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and your name shall be great. You shall be a blessing. God was blessing him both spiritually and earthly as well. And here we notice that as much as he was doing all of it, that Lot was with him. He went on his journeys from the Negev as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai. There was a small descent in the life of Abraham, in other words, where when there was famine, he didn't look up to the Lord probably. Lord, how can I do? What should I do? Should I go somewhere? Or will you provide for me? What did he do? The moment there was famine, he went to Egypt. God brought him back. Come back. Come back to the place where you have pitched your tent earlier. Verse 3. Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning. God brings back to his beginnings. Between Bethel and Ai, verse 4, to the place of the altar which he had made there formerly, and there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. He is back into track. He drifted away. He went into these places. Lot also with him, I'm sure. Lot was noticing all the things that were going on, and God had to bring him back to this place for a purpose again. And now we notice, during the famine time, we don't notice much about Abraham building an altar and all that, because he went to Egypt. The worldly, Egypt represents world. He had to come back to the land of Canaan. He had to come back to Bethel, the presence of God. He had to come there. And again, he restarts his calling on to the name of the Lord. Verse 4. To the place of the altar which he had made there formerly. There Abraham called on the name of the Lord. I love this statement. Chapter 12 and verse 8 also. He built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. His purpose of building an altar of the Lord at the place called Bethel was in order to be able to call on the name of the Lord. What does it say in your translations? Please read in verse 4 in any other language. Genesis 14. Verse 4. Yeah, he was spending time with God, communing with God. Lord, what next? What should I do? The first thing that you and I need to notice in this particular aspect about choices, Abraham and Lot, the first thing I could learn, and we all could learn, about Abraham is faith. The faith of Abraham. He had faith in God. That is why he was calling on the name of the Lord. If he did not have the faith in a God who will direct him, he had to go down south and come back. And later on we notice that Abraham was a father of the faith, because he was a man who focused on faith, though certain times, because of his fleshly nature, he had to sidetrack himself. God brought him back on track to call on the name of the Lord. Abraham is an example of faith, my dear. If at all we want to learn about Abraham, his focus, his attention had to be brought back to the altar of God, to the place where he could have the communion with God. And that is what we notice here about Abraham. Let's now go to a few more verses in Genesis chapter 13. Notice this careful, interesting story. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 5. Now the focus is put on Lot. Lot, who went with Abraham. Now again notice, the third time it is mentioned. Lot is always referred to a person who went with Abraham, who was with Abraham. This is how many times has it been mentioned so far, Lot with Abraham? Three times, chapter 12, verse 4, and chapter 13, verse 1, and now chapter 13 and verse 5. Lot, who went with Abraham, also had flocks and herds and tents. Now, Lot also is rich enough. He had the blessings that Abraham was being blessed. He's able to see that in his life also, in terms of having those blessings. Why? He was tagging along with a man of God who was going along, and he's been blessed. This person also is getting blessed. Probably, I'll also come. I don't know how much he had the necessary faith that he had needed, but he was able to sense that there were some earthly blessings that he was able to experience while he was with Abraham. A Lot, who went with Abraham, also had flocks and herds and tents. verse 6. Now, there was so much that was going on in that area between Bethel and Ai. Notice that map. Remember that map. Just have your mental picture of Bethel and Ai that I mentioned earlier. Here we notice that the land could not sustain them. Why? While dwelling together, for their possessions were so great, or their substance was so great, that they were not able to remain together. The substance was so great that they were not able to remain together. I think in your King James Version, it uses the word substance or possessions. The land could not sustain them. Probably so much of flock, so much of other things. They were grazing along. There was place was not sufficient. When the substance was great, what happened? Please read verse 7. When the substance was great, there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. If you can note it down, I didn't put that as bullets here, but the substance was great. And then that substance, great substance, the earthly substance that what was going on, resulted in strife. What is strife? What does strife mean? Read in any other language. Verse 7. Kalahamo. Strife. Uncle. It's the same thing, right? Yeah, some kind of strife or fight that was going on. Verse 7, notice this. While this was mentioned, Abraham and Lot, so-called people of God, God's chosen family, they were having these problems now. They were having the strife between their own people. And suddenly we notice in verse chapter 7, now the Canaanite and the Perizzite were living or dwelling then in the land. Suddenly, the context was brought forth again. As to while these people were in that place, remember Bethel and Ai, where these people were fighting against each other. Canaanites and Perizzites were there. People, the local people were there. They must be watching. Hey, look at Abraham and Lot. How they're losing their testimony, in other words. Because there was a strife that was going on between these two families, Abraham and Lot, and their business, in other words, or many, many situations that were going on. The Canaanite and the Perizzites who were living in that area, they were probably watching this. It was a bad testimony that was going on. Abraham, being a man of God, a man of faith, who was communing with God, probably he had to take a step forward. As a person who is matured enough to handle situations of strife, situations of fightings, somebody had to take a step forward. And Abraham took that initiative. When there are problems, when there are disagreements that were going on between the people of Lot and the people of Abraham, verse 8, so Abraham said to Lot, please, in my translation it uses the word please, I don't know from age difference how much he was saying, please, let there be no strife between you and me. That is a desire of a man of God, not to have strifes, not to let testimony be affected. Nowadays in this Christian world, we see so many places where there are fightings going on and coming on public media. What a terrible, bad testimony that is. Somebody had to make an initiative, and Abraham took that initiative and he said, let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. For we are brothers. Let there be not anything. And then in verse 9, he gives a suggestion. When the substance is great, then there is a strife. He had to give a suggestion as a man of God who continued to have communion with God. He says this statement. Verse 9, please separate from me. Is not the whole land before you, verse 9. Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I'll go to the left. He could say, hey, I'm the one who is blessed by God. You are getting the benefits of those blessings. I am an older person. You are my brother's son. I get the lion's share. I get to choose for myself. And you get to choose, not choose. You get what I left over. What is the leftovers? A mature man of God or a child of God who has faith in God can be able to tell this, to give the other person the first thing to choose from. And that is what I notice here from the life of Abraham. He was not proud enough to say, I'm the one who will make a choice. The choice was in front of him to be able to say, hey, he could have done some research and say, survey the land and see what, how the terrain is, how well this area is. He could have made the choice right there. But he said, he gave the choice to Lot and said, Lot, you choose. If you want to go left, I will go to the right. If you want to go right, I will go to the left. Lot could have depended on the Lord and said, Lord, what should we do? Or they could have prayed together. We don't know what all has happened in between. Lot could have done many things. He could have said, oh, that's okay. You choose, not me. You are my dad's brother. Please, you choose. You are an old man. You are the one whom the Lord is speaking to. And I could see that nothing is mentioned about Lot. All that Lot is mentioned about earlier is, Lot went with Abraham. Lot went with Abraham. Lot was with Abraham. That's all. Now, when the opportunity came for Lot to make a decision, notice this in verse 10. That is what we read as part of our initial reading. Verse 10. Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the plain of Jordan or the valley of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go to Zoar. Lot lifted up his eyes. Lot lifted up his eyes. Please note down about Lot. Lot was going by sight. Abraham was going by faith. Lot was going by sight. He was looking at it. I don't know whether he was looking up at all or not. Abraham is referred to as a person who called on the name of the Lord, built an altar, trusting in the God who takes care of the things of this world as well. God who takes care of his future, the God who brought him out from a Ur of Chaldeans, he brought him to this land. A totally a different country. Get out of your country and come here is what God spoke. And his eyes, his focus was always on the God. That is what faith is. What is the definition of faith? Anyone? Yeah. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Faith is a substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Substance of things hoped for, not the ones which you have, not the substance that you have. Substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That is what faith is. Not with your physical eyes. Faith is something that without seeing, you believe. Abraham didn't know. He might be, you know, as humanly speaking, I told him right or left, left or right. I wish he takes right. He might be thinking, no, there is nothing that is recorded in terms of being able to have his own personal choice ahead of time. He just let it happen. First, the focus of attention was no strife. No more strife. No more fighting between us. Time has come for us to separate these two different families, in other words. I'm not talking about husband and wife. I'm talking about these two people who had their own properties. And now we notice, verse 10, again there is some background that is mentioned. Just like in verse 7, Canaanites and Perizzites lived there. You see that? Maybe they lost the testimony in front of them. Similarly, in verse 10, there is something mentioned about the context of the place. Lot lifted up his eyes and was looking at the plain of Jordan. that it was well watered everywhere, that it was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. This happened much later in chapter 19. But Lot, his eyes was on that land. If you see that map again, just to give you a picture of that map, this is the place, approximately around this area is the Sodom and Gomorrah on the east. And they were here. He was looking at this side. Oh, wow, what a place this is and all that. And here, we notice that his eyes were on the things of the world. He was thinking about all of it. And now we notice in verse 11, Lot chose for himself. All this while, Lot was with Abraham. Lot went with Abraham. Now the point of separation has come, where in verse 11 it says, Lot chose for himself. Notice the small phrase. Probably, what is that to me? Ah, now I got the chance. I'm glad, Abraham, uncle, you told me this. You gave me the choice. I'm not going to let you take it. I'm going to choose. Let me go around and see that. He looked at Sodom and all those places. He chose for himself. Self. The self came into picture. He didn't consider Abraham and how much he was giving him total, you know, freedom for him to choose whatever he wanted. He chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed to the east. Journeyed to the east. Again, back to the picture. Lot journeyed to the east. Most likely, he would have crossed the Jordan. In what way is it related to Jordan crossing? The east and west is told from the perspective of Jordan River. The east of Jordan, west of Jordan. Jordan River. So he journeyed to the east. Most likely he must have gone there. It's not recorded here. But as I was studying through, I sensed that they were on the left side, on the west side. And he happened to probably see, oh, this is better. A lot of wonderful things of this world happening. So he journeyed to the east. That's why I asked you to write down that specific direction. Which direction did he take? If you draw northeast, west, south, this arrows, if the north direction is upwards, the right side is east, the left side is the west, and the middle is the Jordan River. Okay? He crossed over to the other side in order to be able to get what he wanted. Verse 11. He chose for himself. So he did the selection. Selection for himself. Select. You write it down. By sight. He went by sight. He went ahead selecting for himself, or chose for himself. And then in verse 11. Thus they separated from each other. Separated. All this while Lot was with Abraham. Lot could have said, Abraham, oh, I wish I could be with you and all that. We don't know how this parting also happened. Probably he was waiting for it. We don't know. But one thing we notice, that he lifted up his eyes. He was going by sight. He was choosing for himself, selecting, and then separating. And now we notice in verse 12, Abraham settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled in the cities of the valley and moved his tents. Notice this, verse 12. He moved his tents as far as Sodom. Moved his tents as far as Sodom. The moment he made the choice of going to the east, probably he thought, okay, I'll be here. Sodom, we don't know what kind of place it is. But he was dragged into Sodom because he chose to go towards the east. And here we notice in verse 13, again, context of Sodom. Now, not later. Now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly and sinners against the Lord. What did Lot do? He pitched his tents. He moved his tent close to Sodom. If you read chapter 19 and verse 1, he was at the entrance gates. That means he got some position also in Sodom. Not only did he move his tent there, his wife and his daughters also moved there to Sodom. That choice that was made in order to go to the east resulted in going all the way to Sodom. Now notice in verse 14. Verse 14. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, what did the Lord say? Now lift up your eyes. You had faith. You had faith in me to make sure that it is not your eyes that you are seeing. Now lift up your eyes. His faith resulted in God guiding him to see. More than he himself seeing, God telling him to see. Now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are between Bethel and I. Northward, southward, eastward, and westward. That is around that side of the west. For all the land which you see, I will give to you and your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also can be numbered. God guiding Abraham, unlike Lot. Verse 17. Arise. Remember the theme verse? Now, therefore, arise. He did not need to cross the Jordan, but he had to stay there near the Jordan. Lot crossed the Jordan. But here we notice that arise, walk about the land through its length and the breadth, for I will give it to you. Verse 18. Abraham moved his tent. Abraham obeyed God's word more than his own self. He did not choose for himself. Note it down in your notes. Abraham was a man who had faith. He followed God's commandments. When God said arise, he arose. When God said walk about, he walked about. Because he had a strong communion with God. And then we notice. What does it say in verse 18? Let's all read this verse 18. And Abraham moved his tent and came and dwelt by the oaks of Mamre, which were in Hebron. And there he built an altar to the Lord. Now he came down to Hebron, that is in the south. If you remember the map that was shown forth. He came down into the oaks of Mamre. The word Mamre means strength. My father-in-law's house, they call it Mamre. So I always know that name of the house, Mamre. The word Mamre means strength, even during the worship message, worship songs as well. We were meditating upon the fact that God is our strength in all our situations, in our lives. Mamre means strength. And then, which are in Hebron, in some of the some people pronounce it Hebron. The word Hebron means association or fellowship. The word Hebron means fellowship. Note it down in your sermon notes. Fellowship. He had faith to follow God and to have fellowship with God and his people. Not with Sodom and Gomorrah, but fellowship with God and his people. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light, only then we can have fellowship with God and his people. Those are the things we can learn, my dear. Faith, follow, and fellowship. And that is a place that he could be able to really experience. And he built an altar in Hebron as well. He built an altar at Bethel, the house of God. He built an altar at Hebron in order to be able to have communion with God and fellowship with God, in other words. Koinonia, it says in Greek. Koinonia means fellowship. To have continuous fellowship with God's people and God himself, and not with the world on the other side. My dear brothers and sisters, there are two statements I want you to note down at the bottom. And that is, Lot chose for himself. Lord chose for Abraham. Lord said, now lift up your eyes. Wherever you walk, that is land is yours. The Lord chose for Abraham. The choices that we make need to be dependent on God. God, help me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Lord, there is something in ahead of me. Lord, what shall I choose? What shall I choose? Depending on God and God guiding him. God guided Abraham. But Lord chose for himself. Lord chose for Abraham. Wonderful. If you can remember this, you will know what it means by choices. What does it mean by choices? Trusting in the Lord to help you make the right choices. Those are essential, my dear. God has chosen us. The Bible says, I have not chosen you, but you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. You are a chosen generation. God has chosen us before the foundation of this world in order to be able to know what his plans are in our lives. If the Lord is speaking to you right now, recognize that he's the one who is guiding us at every step of our life. Lot was called a righteous Lot in 2 Peter. Though his life, he was living a life, but he was living among the Sodom and Gomorrah people. He could not manage his family well, though probably he was living a righteous life. Lot's family went through tough times. His wife became a pillar of salt because she looked back at Sodom and Gomorrah. The choices that Lot made had implications on his family. And there was wicked things that had happened. There was an incest that caused Lot's daughters to give birth to two generations, to two people groups. They are, you know who they are? Moabites and Ammonites. Because of the sin that has occurred and the influence of sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the daughters going through that resulted in continued enmity with the Israelites. Moabites and Ammonites. Ammons and Moabites. If you notice, this is a picture where the Israel is on the left side, Moab and Ammon in around 1000 BC. Ammon and Moab. This is Dead Sea. This is the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River. And today is written in gray, the country of Jordan, Israel. And the capital of Jordan is, it's very similar to Ammon, Amman. It has come from that, Ammon. Oh my dear, what a terrible situations that have happened because of choices that were made to go on to the east side. If we don't rely on God to help us make the necessary choices, if we make choices of our own, this is what happens. And that is what you and I need to be able to learn from this particular story, my dear. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. 19 and 20. Please read. Deuteronomy chapter 30, 19 and 20. I have set before you life and death, the blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life. Yes, choose life. Voice, yes. He is your life. God is your life. So choose the Lord God. Yes. Wonderful. Choose life. Not anything else. God has given us the gift of eternal life. God himself is life. Now I have set before you life and death. I have set before you the blessing and the curse. Choose life. What are you doing all this while? Maybe you're listening. Maybe you're like Lot, going around with people of God, experiencing blessings. Good. You're not saying that it's not good. But there is a point of time when you need to make the choice. The Bible says, choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. Not only in this life, not talking about in this life, but for eternity. Because God is your life. He is the eternal life. For that, Christ Jesus came into this world to die for you and I, my dear. He says, come unto me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden. I will give you rest. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? That's a question. God wants to guide us. He is like a GPS, God's positioning system. God wants you to position in a place. Abraham was kept on the west of Jordan River, the land of Canaan. But Lot chose to go on to the other side. He crossed the Jordan, most likely, and he went into the world. And how atrocious it has happened that his family and everyone, and the Moabites and Ammonites, got into picture. So may this be a big lesson for us. The choices that we make matter to us. Every day we make so many choices. The Lord has put forth those choices in front of us. For those who are not born again, may the Lord open your heart in order to be able to know that He is the one who is the giver of life. How long will you waver between two minds? Choose you this day whom you will serve as well. Not only from a salvation perspective, that God is the one who is working in our hearts. Still, if you are hard-hearted, how can you neglect such a great salvation? Why are you neglecting such a great salvation? Are you choosing not to experience that salvation of God? Time has come, my dear, to respond to that calling of God. How do you respond? And to the calling of serving Him, choose you this day whom do you serve as well. I want to serve my Lord. I don't want to go into the world. I want to be and have fellowship with God and His people. That is a better place. That is a safer place, my dear. Otherwise, we don't know how the next generations also will end up becoming because of our choices that we make. May the Lord bless this word and enable us to remember Christ Jesus who came down into this world in order to give eternal life. And may each one of us have that experience of eternal life. With our eyes closed and our heads bowed down, I'm asking you, my brother, my sister, are we like Lot going after sight, our own selection, our own separation away from the fellowship? Or are we like Abraham who have faith to follow and to have fellowship with God's people and God Himself? Let us be like Abraham. This Jordan crossing has given us a warning not to be like Lot in terms of our choices. Christ Jesus came into this world to give you that gift of eternal life. Are you putting your hands back or are you stretching your hands and accepting the gift from God? Let us accept it from the Lord. If you have been postponing your decision to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, I think the time has come to really respond to that call of God. If the Lord is speaking to you, convicting you, my dear, do not be disobedient to the voice of the Lord. Do not be hard-hearted. Do not be hard-hearted. Maybe this is the day of your salvation. Come and talk to us. We are ready to pray with you and to guide you in order to be able to make future choices and decisions in the will of God, rather than outside the will of God. Let us take part in the table that is set before us in order to remember Christ and His sacrifice for us.